Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Barclay calls that verse a four-point summary of Christian duty. And another calls it the four points of Christian citizenship. Let's spend a few minutes tonight looking at each of those four short commands. The first command is to honor all men. The word translated honor there, both here in the first command and also in the fourth command, means to fix a value on something. It's used in Matthew 15, verse 4, honor thy father and thy mother. But it's also used in Matthew 27, verse 9, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued. That's the same word. Here, of course, we are being commanded to properly value all men. And when that command was first penned, the only word for it was revolutionary. Why? Well, because there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire when that verse was penned, each one of which was by law, not a person, but a thing. Anyone who tells you the Bible condones slavery, they've never read this verse. And whether it's slavery or the Holocaust or abortion, mankind's worst atrocities all have one thing in common, and that is they begin with a failure to follow this command. They have all occurred when certain people are not viewed as really being people at all. But we can also be guilty of disobeying this command. It happens, for example, if we ever see someone as just an object in our way rather than as a person who needs our help and who needs Christ. Each person is created in the image of God, Genesis 1, verse 27. And in fact, that statement from Genesis 1 is the basis for this command to honor all men. That is why all men, from the worst to the best, are to be honored. We must properly value all men. And that verse from Genesis 1 is also the basis for another command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. No one is beyond the reach or beyond the need for the gospel. That is how we honor all men. The second command is to love the brotherhood. Yes, we are to honor all men, and yes, we are to love all men, even our enemies, Matthew 5:44. But for those inside the church, we must always have a special love and a special affection. The dominant atmosphere of the church must always be that of love. Love for each other, love for the lost, love for God. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13:35. If the world does not know that we are disciples of Christ, then John 13:35 tells us why. It's because we failed to properly love each other as we should. The church is a family. The Bible calls it the household of God, Ephesians 2:19. Here it's called a brotherhood. Jesus promised just such a family in Mark chapter 10:29 and 30. There is no man that hath left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, Mark tells us. We must love each other as we love our own families, because in fact that's what we are, a family. And for some in the church, we're the only family that they have. And where is the basis for this command to love the brotherhood? Once again, we can turn back to Genesis chapter 1 and find it there. In that chapter, God created the first family with God himself as their father. And in the church, we as a spiritual family are reconciled to God our Father. 2 Corinthians 5:18. The third command is to fear God. The psalmist tells us that that is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. But sadly, in many of our schools and universities, students are being taught just the opposite. They're being taught that the rejection of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, of course, we know that fear here does not mean terror. It means reverence. It means awe. And there are four essentials to showing proper reverence to God. First, we must believe that God exists, and we know that only a fool says otherwise. Second, we must not only believe that God exists, but we must know what kind of God He is. We must know about His holiness, about His justice, about His love, about His mercy. Third, we must always have a constant awareness of God, not just when we're in this building, but all throughout our lives. And fourth, to show proper reverence to God, to fear God, we must obey God and submit to His will and to His authority. The disobedient and the rebellious can never be said to fear God. They may be in terror of God, and rightly so if they remain in that condition, but they do not fear God. As Romans 3:18 describes them, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And the basis for this command to fear God, where is that? Genesis 1. We show reverence to God because God is our Creator. Isaiah 45, verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. That is why we fear God. John Wesley said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but God, who hate nothing but sin, and who know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I'll shake the world. Acts 5, verse 6 tells us that Christians just like that turn the world upside down. How were they able to do that? Well, they started by walking in the fear of the Lord. The fourth command is to honor the king. And of the four commands, this one may be the most amazing of all. Because when this command was penned, that king was Nero, who is perhaps the worst persecutor of God's people this world has ever known. And in fact, history tells us that he would very soon put Peter to death. Was it right to pray to God that such an evil ruler would be judged and removed? Absolutely yes, because that's exactly what we see the Christians doing in the book of Revelation. Would it have been right for the Christians to rise up in rebellion against that king and reject his authority? Absolutely not. Even with Nero, Christians must honor, they must properly value the king, honor the king. And yes, we must obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. But to obey God, we must honor the king, even if that king is Nero. Why? Romans 13, verse 2 tells us, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God. An attack on proper authority is ultimately an attack on God's authority. And if we fail to honor earthly kings, then we are failing to honor our heavenly king as we should. And what is the basis for this fourth command? You're right, Genesis 1. In that chapter, the created order in which we live was created and established by God in the beginning. And God reigns over His universe as king. We've looked at four commands from 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. If we have not been obeying those commands as we should, then now's the time to begin. But you cannot obey those commands at all if you're outside the body of Christ. Before you can obey the commands of God written by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, you must first obey the command of God spoken by Peter in Acts 2 verse 38, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.